The BBC presents Gordon Jackson in The Same River Twice, a serial thriller in 8 parts by Edward Boyd. Johnny Maxson's missing wife, Julia, from whom he's been estranged, has been found strangled. A suggestion has been made that Johnny was involved in the killing. His attempt to clear himself leads him to a lochside cottage with a friend, Dorothy Havergal. The Same River Twice, Part 7.
Same old door, anyway.
Used to be a swine to open.
Probably still is. Ah, there we are.
Black as pitch inside. Shine a light. The switch box is up on the left.
No. No!
What is it, Johnny? Oh!
Was this forest, sudden silver, rootless in a space of red, the instant psychopathic moment. Silver trees, each silver tree a splinter, a needle forest. Pine needles, pain needles, get your pain needles here, get them while they last. Which is only forever. Guaranteed not to rust, a lifetime to pay. In case of dissatisfaction, your money back. Never.
Johnny. Johnny.
Hanging there in the light of the torch, it floated, free, it seemed, from gravity. The torch's circle small and solar. A son's a son till he finds a wife. A daughter's a daughter till she's drowned.
Johnny. 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 Are you all right, Johnny?
Yes. Yes, I'm all right.
I'm sorry,
Just give me a minute.
Whoever did that is very, very sick.
Yes.
It's a portrait of your daughter, isn't it?
It is. The girl who painted it told me it frightened even her.
You knew about it, then?
Only that it existed. Drowned Girl.
What was that?
The artist called the painting Drowned Girl. Beautifully stage-managed, isn't it, eh? You open the door, you have to have a torch because the lights are switched off at the main. You flash the torch and this terrifying portrait leaps off the wall at you.
It frightened the wits out of me. Who painted it, Johnny?
A girl called Martina Stevens.
Did she say who commissioned it?
Yes.
Who?
A man.
Did he give a name?
Johnny Maxson.
You, Johnny.
I said that was the name he gave. Do you seriously think I would do a thing like this?
That would depend.
On what?
On how much you hated Julia.
I see. Thank you for your vote of confidence.
You see, people are afraid of you, Johnny. I think Julia was. I know I am, sometimes.
And that's why you think me capable of anything?
Yes. You're intelligent and you're ruthless. You follow things through to the bitter end and beyond. And if people get hurt, if you yourself get hurt in the process, then too bad. That's the price of truth, awareness, knowledge, or whatever you call the nothing you're left with.
Let me take this slowly. You are suggesting that I could have killed Julia.
I am suggesting just that.
Charming.
Not the word I would have used.
All right, then let's go for broke. Are you suggesting I did?
I haven't decided yet.
Just the two of us, alone here in the dark.
That's right.
A man and a woman.
Right again.
All the ingredients of romance.
No moonlight. Somebody didn't order moonlight.
And music, 1,000 lush strings.
Music to strangle someone by.
Are you terrified?
No.
You just get your kicks standing in the dark with murderers.
I just like standing in the dark with you. Please don't touch me.
I don't think you'd mind if I really had killed Julia, would you, Mara? It's obvious. If I killed Julia, I must have hated her. I must have wanted to wipe out everything she was and had been, right?
For the sake of argument, right?
I think you'd like that. I think you'd like a situation in which Julia isn't, never was, and never shall be.
Why would I want that, Johnny?
Because you're in love with me.
Please, Johnny.
And because you think that Julia was the big one, the one nobody can follow.
Let me go.
I expected better than that from you.
So let me go.
What law says that to love greatly, you must only love once?
I read that somewhere, too.
If you did, you didn't understand it.
Look, you're hurting me.
You really believe that death do us part, but don't you?
Johnny, please.
You hate Julia dead more than I ever hated her alive. Do you know that?
Right, Johnny, all right. Whatever you say, Johnny. Color me green, black, blue, orange, anything you like, anything, as long as you leave me alone. Why won't you take what's offered, Johnny? Why won't you take it graciously? Why couldn't you accept it from Julia? Why can't you accept it from your French girl? Why can't you accept it from me? What makes you think you're so special? What have you got that's so precious you think we're all trying to steal it from you? I'll tell you why I think you could have killed Julia. It's because you don't care any more about anybody or anything, not even your daughter. You try hard to convince yourself, but you don't really care what happened to her.
Why, you rotten little...
Go ahead, Johnny. Strangle me.
One day, you have something. And it's clean and shining and pure. And you want to laugh and sing and make a loud noise about it because it's going to last forever. The next day, bosh! It's gone. Just like that. Nothing left. Not even a hole in the ground. And you're in shock. Where did it go? Why did it go? How? And the more you ask, the more it's not there. So finally you stop asking the question. But that thing you had, it's still in your head. It's still there and you go on living with it. Living, you'll pardon the expression.
Johnny.
If you had a brain in your head, you'd cut your throat, but you go on living. So you've still got to find a way out. Then one day, something goes click, just like that. And you've got the answer. From that moment, you take the clean, pure, shining thing and you start messing it up, making it cheap and nasty and dirty, just so you can go on living with it and say, well, it wasn't so much, was it? Who needed a thing like that? It wasn't even good while it lasted. Man, you're better off without it.
You once said something to me, Johnny.
That sounds like me.
You said, no man bathes in the same river twice.
A Greek said that first. You can never second-guess these Greeks.
It's the same river, even if you muddy the water.
Yeah, maybe it is. All right, then. To sum up, I didn't kill Julia. I didn't commission this painting. Whoever went to the trouble of bringing it all the way down here and hanging it up where it is hated Julia a whole lot more than I ever did. And...
Listen. Someone's coming.
A gamekeeper, maybe.
He's coming this way. What are you going to do if he comes in?
Flash the light straight in his eyes. Blind him.
Then?
Improvise.
He's coming in.
Shh.
Stay where you are. Switch your torch off, Mr. Maxson. It stirs up very unhappy memories. Thank you.
What memories, Inspector?
Of the time my aircraft was coned in the searchlights over Dusseldorf.
Did you live?
I sometimes wonder.
Who's this, Johnny?
My name is Hector Wardlaw. I am by profession a policeman.
Shall we have some light on the subject?
The switch boxes are just above you and to the left.
Yes, I know.
You're very familiar with the geography of this cottage, Inspector.
When you're a policeman, you have all sorts of knowledge forced upon you. That's better. Now we can all see each other. I don't believe I know the young lady, Maxon.
Dorothy Havergal, Inspector Wardlaw.
I'm delighted to make your acquaintance, Miss Havergal.
Thank you.
I hope you don't share Maxon's prejudice against the police.
No, I don't.
Good. Good. Shall we go through?
What's happening here, Johnny?
I don't know. All I know is that this is a very, very dangerous copper.
I like this room.
And how long have you been snooping around?
Snooping is something I never do.
I bet you've searched this cottage from floor to attic.
I have indeed. That very startling painting in the hall.
Did it shake you too, Inspector?
I confess it did. Tell me more about it, Maxon.
What makes you think I know anything about it?
Johnny, why don't you stop being such an idiot?
Miss Havergal's right. If you can tell us anything about the painting, you'll be saving time. We'll find out anyway, but it's nice to be economical.
It was commissioned from a painter. A girl called Martina Stevens.
Was it commissioned personally?
No, by telephone. She never saw her patron, whoever he was. And the fee for the portrait was paid in cash. Also, he gave my name.
Well, now, that's interesting.
Very.
Wasn't there some address given where this artist girl had to deliver the painting?
It was collected when she was out.
Highly mysterious. What else?
It might have been collected by someone in a green van.
Might?
A friend of the painter saw a green van drive away from outside the studio.
Do you know anyone who runs a green van, Maxon?
No.
Do you, Miss Havergal?
I'm afraid not.
How do you regard that painting, Maxon?
Do you mean as a work of art?
You know very well indeed I do not.
If you ask me...
Which I did.
It's part of the persecution pattern.
Exactly.
What's all this about persecution?
Somebody was maliciously persecuting Julia.
In what way?
Well, there were obscene letters and birthday cards sent to her daughter after the child was dead.
No.
And that wasn't all.
Do you tell me that?
The telephone would ring. And when she picked it up, she would hear tape recordings of my dead daughter's voice. She stopped coming down here because she kept being wakened by fingers tapping on the window, always at the time when my daughter had been drowned. And she was being blackmailed.
How do you know all this, John?
A very good question.
Ian Wotherspoon told me.
And who would he be?
He's a psychiatrist.
Your wife was attending him?
Yes, naturally he thought Julia was imagining all these things.
But we know better, don't we, Maxon?
Yes, we know better.
There's a kind of madness in this.
There is indeed. What brought you here tonight?
I don't know.
Ah, now don't be insulting my intelligence.
I'm not. I don't honestly know. Maybe I was looking for something.
Maybe you were. And maybe you left it too late.
What are you getting at?
Maybe I found what he was looking for.
All right, tell me what it was so as I can stop searching.
Passport.
What are you talking about?
A passport I found in this cottage.
What's that got to do with Johnny?
It would appear to be his.
But that's ridiculous. I already have a passport. What would I be wanting with two passports?
You could have one, a quite legitimate one, that showed you had not been in this country for almost 5 years. And you could have, in addition, another, not quite so legitimate passport, which tells an entirely different story.
May I see the one you found, Inspector?
Certainly.
Thank you. Johnny...
It's not the most difficult thing in the world to get hold of a forged passport.
I'll take your word for it.
Johnny, it has your photograph
in it. It isn't mine.
We can check on all these dates, you know.
Good luck to you.
But, Johnny, why would anyone else...
Precisely. This job of yours in Paris...
What about it?
Do you go into an office or anything?
I work at home.
You're your own master, more or less?
More or less than more.
And, this girl of yours...
Solange?
A lovely name. What does she do?
She's a beautician.
In Paris?
She travels around a lot.
She's away for days at a time.
Sometimes longer.
So you could have nipped across the channel without her being any the wiser?
Easily, if that false passport had been mine.
Can you prove it isn't?
Can you prove it is?
I don't think you quite understand, Maxon. In this instance, the burden of proof lies with you.
Are you asking him to do your job for you?
No, Dorothy, he's just reversing the usual order of things. I'm being presumed guilty until I'm proved innocent.
That is not true. Presumption is no part of the job I am paid to do. I'm only concerned with facts, and whatever these facts add up to.
And in this case, they're beginning to add up to me.
Let's go, Johnny. Let's get out of here.
Have we your permission, Inspector?
You have.
You won't forget to lock up, will you?
I'll do more than that, Maxim. It's in my mind to seal this cottage up until the lab boys have gone over it, inch by inch.
Good night to you, Inspector. And good hunting.
I asked Dorothy to drive to the hotel. We reached the main road, turned left, and ploughed through the cold darkness. Somewhere around us was a loch and hills, all the ingredients of an instant landscape. But they had gone. They were invisible. And we might have been falling through space.
As you said, a very, very dangerous copper.
And getting more dangerous by the moment.
Johnny, I want you to listen to me.
Go ahead.
I mean... Oh, Johnny, you set up so many taboos. I hate it when I have to edit my own thoughts.
All right, then, don't edit them.
All these horrible things. The letters, the birthday cards, the phone calls, the painting.
Yes?
They keep coming back to your daughter.
Yes, I know.
I'm beginning to wonder just exactly what did happen when she was drowned.
Wardlaw checked that. He says it was a genuine accident. Will you do something for me, Dorothy?
If I can.
There's a man I want to see at the hotel.
Yes?
I want to see him alone.
Very well, Johnny. You'll see him alone.
He had the bar all to himself. A little man, cocooned and soft fat. Bunty Nickel. Poacher, peeping Tom, petty thief and layabout, a born survivor. He was dressed better than he used to be. His face was polished like an apple. His eyes flicked to and fro like beads on an abacus, calculating.
Well, well, well. The Wanderer returns.
Hello, Bunty.
I hear you've been in foreign parts.
Paris.
Man, that's some place, they tell me. They tell me that's some place.
Long black stockings. Women doing the can-can all over the place. Not safe for a man to walk the streets. Have a drink.
I won't say no. I never say no to that. I'll have a big whiskey.
You be barman. And pour one for me, too.
I'll do that, Johnny. A nice bit of scat you've got with you.
I'm glad you approve.
You could always pick them. I'll say that for you. You could always pick them. Your health.
Health.
And what brings you back down here?
This and that.
Aye, so I've heard.
You're looking prosperous, Bundy.
I can't complain, Johnny. Can't complain.
Got a lot of things going for you.
You know me. Always a few irons in the fire.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend of yours this morning.
Who would that be?
A newspaper man. David Williams.
Oh, and who was he?
Interesting.
Some of the reporters are.
I suppose it's because they meet some weird people.
I think you're getting at me, Maxon.
Now, what makes you think
you've
that?
You've never liked me. You've gone out of your way to miscall me.
What were you trying to peddle to the press, Bunty?
You can go to hell, Maxon.
I have a better idea. I'll go to the police.
Look, this is none of your business.
Bunty, you have information about my wife's death, and it's none of my business.
I like your wife.
I know. I once caught you spying on her when she was undressing to go swimming. Come on, Bunty, what's the big secret? What do you know about that last Friday Julia was seen alive?
I saw them arriving at the cottage.
Them?
Your wife and the other woman.
The other woman?
That's right.
What was the other woman like?
She had the fair hair. That's all I can tell you.
What time was this about?
About midnight.
How did they arrive?
Came in a car.
Did you see it?
No. They didn't drive down as far as the cottage. They must have left the car up the road a bit and walked down.
Now, why would they do that?
Search me.
Was there a light in the cottage?
No.
What happened after that?
Are you kidding?
I asked you what happened.
You know better than me what happened.
Tell me, just the same.
I'll tell you, Maxon. I'll tell you, all right. These two women went up to the door of the cottage. Your wife opened it and I heard her saying, Johnny, Johnny, are you there? Then when she got no answer, she shouted, Johnny, it's Julia. Then the two of them went inside. And there's a kind of flash like a torch. Then somebody screamed and the fair-haired one came running out and went up that road like the devil himself was after her. But you know something, Maxon. You know something. Wait till you hear this. The dark-haired one didn't come out. Oh, no, Maxon, your wife stayed inside. That's what I was going to peddle to the press. But if you'd sooner the police got it, Mr. Big Shot Maxon, that's all the same to me.
The last man in the world jumped off a skyscraper roof. Passing a window on the 33rd floor, he heard a telephone ring. The last man in the world was sitting in an empty room. Suddenly, someone knocked at the door. Old jokes, cold jokes. But they seemed neither old nor cold, sitting there silent in the car beside Dorothy on the way back to town.
Permission to speak?
Yes. Yes, of course.
What happened back there?
The roof fell in on me.
Care to talk about it?
No.
The hotel was quiet tonight.
Very.
That little man you were talking to was the only customer in the place?
Yes.
So the chances are the van in the car park was his?
Probably.
It was a green van.
What?
You said a green van came to collect that horrible painting, didn't you?
Did you get the number of the van?
I wrote it down for you. Do you want to go back?
Not now. Not at the moment. I'll go back, that's for sure, but not right now. The city was in a coma when we got back. The pavements rolled up, and the solid citizenry snug in their virtuous couches, with nothing more disastrous ahead of them than the morning bacon burnt, or the eggs too crisp. Dorothy declined to climb the stairs for a final cigarette, a coffee, or a last drink, which was just as well, for there was someone waiting there, someone unexpected, Julia's mother.
Surprised to see me, Johnny?
Well, yes. What brings you here, Helen?
I think I've been selfish and wicked.
I wouldn't have recognized you from that description.
I assure you it's accurate.
And just what have you done that was either selfish or wicked?
I brought you back here from Paris.
I was only too pleased to come.
Would you have come for anyone else?
No.
You see, I knew that, Johnny.
Nobody's going to hang you for that.
Don't talk about hanging, Johnny.
I'm out of my depth here, Helen.
Perhaps I am, too. You don't believe in anything, do you, Johnny?
Not really.
I do. I believe there's a kind of justice that works itself out in the world. Not the justice of men that can be cruel and rigid, but a justice that's born almost out of the evil deed itself. I should have had faith in that belief. I should have let it work itself out in its own time. Instead, I tried to help it, to hurry it.
Helen.
Don't think I blame you, Johnny, for doing what you did. How can I blame you, believing what I do believe?
Are you all right, Helen?
Johnny, I know. I haven't been honest with you, Johnny.
That can always be remedied.
I knew all about what was going on, Johnny. I pretended to you that I didn't, but I did. Julia told me everything, everything. The terrible thing is that we were closer in the months before she died than we'd ever been before.
What did she tell you?
About the letters and the phone calls. Birthday cards. That was vile of you, Johnny. What kind of a mind do you have?
I don't even know if I have one anymore.
You're a very sick man. Do you realize that?
No.
Not realizing it is part of the sickness.
Am I right here? You brought me all the way from Paris to look for someone you were convinced I had already killed.
I shouldn't have done it.
But you did.
God forgive me, I did.
Then you should be the last person to talk about sick minds.
Don't be angry with me, Johnny.
I'm not.
Go back to Paris, son. Go back to your new life. There's been enough of death and dying. Why should we add to it?
It's a bit too late for that now, don't you think?
I'll say nothing, I promise.
It's out of our hands now, Helen. What I can't understand is my reason for all this villainy.
It's quite simple. Someone told you Julia killed your daughter.
The seventh part of The Same River Twice, a serial in 8 parts by Edward Boyd, was produced for the BBC by Eddie Fraser.